studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Behnke, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are joined, as always, on our live chat by the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere, including Cheesehead TV's own Jamie Snowden and Jersey Al. So, Corey, as you frantically push buttons, tell me, what is on tap tonight? You've no idea.
Tonight, we're going to break down the Packers offseason. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad.
The what?
And the ugly. We got the good. We got all the new Packers players.
Gotta love them. Corey Behnke's really excited about them.
I really am. Not. Oh, we got the bad. We got all the Packers players who lost or didn't get cut or...
The players they lost out on.
There you go. And we got the ugly. We got... I don't even know what we got. We got the Packers passing on Miles Jack.
Man, you know...
The one player I knew in the draft, people.
The one player, only because I tweeted about him incessantly, that Corey was even aware of, even tangentially. Corey Behnke, how the hell are you?
I'm good.
Nice new digs you got for us here.
Yeah, you know.
I like it. Things are popping. You're pressing buttons. We don't really know what's going on.
Things are happening.
It's good.
People can hear us.
You should turn down the headphones because it's like there's all major echo going on over here. And that's all I can hear is
I'm sorry.
Us. Echoing.
I know you
eternity.
Can't work like this. You're so used to Sports Illustrated that you can't work like this.
I'm used to a professional environment.
I'm sure you are.
So how's your off season going?
It's going.
Yeah?
It's happening.
So now be honest. Is this the first time you've really paid attention to anything Packers since the loss in Arizona?
Yes.
What's the last thing you remember about the Packers before tonight?
A Hail Mary. Two of them.
That's it?
Yep.
All right.
I remember rubbing some bald guy's head from Green Bay. That I was sitting next to.
In Arizona.
Yep.
I like it. Did you watch the draft? Did you pay attention to the draft at all?
I watched the guy with the bong on his face. That was awesome.
Laramie Tunsil. All right. Very good.
That was awesome.
He's now a Miami Dolphin.
I tweeted while it was happening the first round, and then I got bored.
Yeah. You checked out the Sports Illustrated live stream, I'm sure.
I did check it out, and I was disappointed because at first I was like, I felt like I was going to get jealous, and then I was like really happy because I was like, oh, the studio looks so cool, and you guys, Andrew, like you deserve to have somebody you talk to that can talk to you about the draft instead of just like pushing graphics and stuff.
Stop.
And then I saw this like fat schlobby dude that was like sitting on a couch and like, he wasn't listening to you, and he was talking about stuff I didn't care about, and I felt bad for the other host who does it all the time. I like her a lot.
Maggie.
She's amazing.
Maggie's amazing,
So I'm, like, feeling sorry for her, and then I'm like, there's not enough Aaron. It was kind of like there's not enough cowbell. There wasn't enough Aaron for me. There wasn't enough Aaron or Andrew, for that matter.
I'm sorry.
I needed more pro in my draft show. You guys had the pro going on.
Yeah.
But it was like, hey, let's go to the fat guys eating donuts now.
Hey, man, fat guys eating donuts can break down some stuff. That's all I'm saying. Should we give a shout-out to our friendly sponsors?
Sure.
Our friendly sponsors at Still Make Brewery. I'm enjoying an ice-cold Wisco Disco out of an old-school Cheesehead TV mug.
Old-school.
You've got the new school going on tonight.
I do. I have the Cheesehead TV pint glass.
Available for purchase on cheeseheadtv.com.
It is.
Someone asked me earlier on Twitter where they could purchase one of these mugs, and as of right now, you cannot. But that may change in the future. Corey nervously checking the audio.
Just making sure it's working.
Just making sure people can hear us.
So, yeah.
Ooh, should we get to some Packers news? Some Packers news?
There's Packers news?
Not really, but we can make it up.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do it.
All right. The Packers have drafted 7 players and signed 17 undrafted free agents. And we know, and probably maybe more than 17 undrafted free agents at this point, but we all know what a fan Corey Behnke is of the practice squad.
Mm.
And you know some of these guys are going to end up on the practice squad. And I can't wait till we're back at the end of the summer talking about who made the practice squad.
The reason for the preseason is for me to figure out who everybody is.
Exactly. You don't do it in the offseason.
Oh, no. Why would you do that?
Why would you waste your mental bandwidth in the offseason figuring out who these guys are? because they're amazing stories, and they're like really you're rooting for these guys. Like, I'm not gonna talk to the wall.
I'm
right
rooting
now
for them,
yeah,
but
they're
still,
Packers.
I don't know. I think it'd be more exciting if college players got paid, so that would be cool.
Well, that's a whole other argument that we're not gonna have here.
I know. I'm just saying.
Packer transplant.
I'm just
live.
Saying. If they got paid, maybe you know how good they were.
I'm agreeing. Another piece of Packers news. The Packers have declined to pick up Dayton Jones' fifth-year option. There's no surprise. I don't think anybody really expected them to. They didn't want to play $6 million to Dayton to try out a new position, which is essentially what he's going to be doing. We'll talk about that later in the show. But yeah, no surprise. Ted Thompson yet to use the fifth-year option that came into existence during the 2011 CBA negotiations / new CBA. So tells you how swimmingly the first round has gone since 2011. Next up.
So what does that, wait.
All right.
So what does that mean for Dayton?
Well, it means that it's a contract year. You know, the fifth year option essentially would have allowed the Packers to control his rights for another year. But they have declined to do so. So it will be his last year under contract. Unless he balls out and they open negotiations / approach him about extending, you know, re-signing some kind of contract extension.
Gotcha.
However, at this particular point, they could have paid him $6 million to be contractually obligated to stay with the Packers for next year, but they have decided that they will allow him to play this contract out and then see how the chips fall, so to speak. Next up. The annual shareholders meeting. Remember when we used to get geeked out about this thing? Remember, like, it used to be really exciting?
I don't remember.
No, you do.
No,
you
I don't.
Do. We used to talk about, like, filming it.
I got to fix this
and
light.
Going. Oh, you're fixing a light. Oh, gosh. Corey's out of frame now. Well, anyway, as you're doing that, geek boy, you know, we used to, like, talk about, like, going to the shareholders meeting and covering it. I think this is the first thing we were ever credentialed for, actually. Like, before, well, maybe the combine was, but we used to geek out about this thing, and now it's just like, okay, this is a shareholders meeting. I think for me, a big part of the kind of laissez-faire attitude towards it is that, you know, you go every year and you see it and you see the financials presented, and Ted does his talk, and that's kind of cool. And you hear all these other people talk, and it's not so cool. And it's in the baking hot sun, usually, of the bowl there at Lambeau. Although, you know, sometimes it rains and people are unprotected, except for those higher ups on the stage. And it's just kind of a non-event. I mean, it's nice to get to Lambeau. It's always great to sit in Lambeau
I think
Field.
It was cool when they had Packer Fan Fest.
Yeah, back in the day.
That was a long time ago.
A long time ago. But anyway, Packers shareholder meeting set for July 21st. So you got to assume they haven't announced it yet. The real reason this is news is because essentially that means you can count on training camp starting shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
And they haven't announced those dates yet, but you can kind of assume it'll be later that week, most likely.
Is that the day that Vic Ketchman's going to officially retire?
You know,
because that's exciting.
That day may have already come.
Oh, really?
And gone. I don't know.
Did they already throw him a party?
I don't know. I can't ascertain that information. But I will say, young Wes Hodquitz, newest member of Packers.com on the digital media side. Congratulations to Wes.
That's very exciting.
I think he had his first post up today. He's done some video stuff for them already, but I think today was his first written thing.
So
I think.
So okay. So okay.
I'm not sure.
I gotta say this. Okay.
Oh boy, here we go.
And Wes is not gonna like this.
Oh boy.
And I'm not gonna say anything bad about Wes. But like, there's this video.
Don't burn some bridges already.
It's too late.
No, right.
There's this video, and it's like a virtual set. So you know what a virtual set is?
Yeah.
So like, it's a green screen.
Yeah.
It actually looks really good. But and I like Mike Spofford. Right, I've always liked him.
That was great work.
Oh my God, on camera, get a coach, buddy. Holy crap. So you got.
Why you
got
to do this?
Because
it's
dude,
our first.
It's
we
just,
haven't had a show since January 20th.
I just saw it.
We're like 15 minutes into the show, and you're already ripping people.
I just saw it. So you got.
This is why. Okay, I'm going to tell my Super Bowl story later. This is why. This is why this ish happens to me.
You got me,
not to you.
You got some trained media personnel. You got The right. Rock, right?
Yeah.
On the right.
Keeping it down.
You got Wes Hodquitz, who's like, he's like the young school kid whippersnapper,
right,
who like,
right.
You know, he
new
did
new media. He's
yeah,
coming in.
He's got the
take
new
over
media
the
down.
Yeah,
he
yeah,
spent
yeah.
his time in Green Bay.
Yeah,
he's
10
done
years
his
on the
dues.
On the beat.
Yeah, he's yeah. done his dues in the local media, right? And then you got Spofford, and he, like, here's the thing, he's actually a good guy, but he doesn't care. Like, when you watch him, it looks like he's, like, really, he doesn't want to be there. It's really funny.
Well, that may be true. I mean, Mike's a great writer, and he breaks down the film really well. Maybe he's just not an on-camera guy. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm not an on-camera guy, but here I am.
I sit here and I look like you're entertaining me. I sit here and I smile at you and I listen to your comments. That's a little disingenuous, as you are a classically trained actor. So you can sit there and, like, at least act like you know what the hell you're doing.
Exactly.
And you can act like, you know, you're supposed to be on camera because you know how to be on camera because you're an actor. So not everyone can be a classically trained actor. That's all I'm saying.
Just say, Mike, buddy. Step up the game,
just
son.
Just pump it up. Pump it up a little bit.
Just be excited to be there.
Yeah, he's clear.
You got a good job. Act like it.
Oh, man. You know, hey. 15 minutes. I'm impressed. It only took us 15 minutes, but here we are.
Oh, my God. Everybody wants to talk about football. Guys, there's no football right now, okay?
We're going to get there. You gotta eat your vegetables before you get to your dessert. Come on, people. Speaking of the dessert, the Packers schedule is released. And I'm going to look at the not really, but kind of updated schedule here on the Cheesehead TV app. It's there. You just got
to
scroll.
It's about to be updated, okay?
So, Corey, I'm going to go through the schedule right now. And I want you to give me the win-loss.
Okay.
All right? Win or loss.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
At Jacksonville.
Win.
At Minnesota.
Win.
Christening their new stadium, by the way. Home against Detroit.
Win.
Bye week.
Win.
All right, good to win the bye week. Home against the Giants.
Win.
Home against the Cowboys.
Win.
Home against the Bears.
Win.
At Atlanta.
Win.
Home against the Colts.
Win.
At Tennessee.
Win.
At Washington.
Win.
At Philadelphia.
Win.
Home against the Texans.
Win.
Home against the Seahawks.
Win.
At Chicago.
Win.
Home against the Vikings on Christmas Eve.
I lose.
Oh, what? Oh, this is a bigger upset than the Bears losing to Miami back in 85.
It won't matter.
Wow.
Won't matter.
Calling the loss. So wait, last year, the Bears ruined my Thanksgiving. And you're telling me the Vikings are going to ruin my Christmas?
Yep. And that's going to be their Super Bowl. You know it is.
That's true.
It is every year.
Fair point. And then at Detroit.
Win.
So we're going 15-1.
15-1,
baby. With the only loss coming Christmas Eve at Lambeau.
And here's why.
To the Vikings.
But here's why, right?
Wow.
Here's why.
What's that?
You know why we lose to the Vikings?
Why is that?
Because we didn't pick up a tight end.
Oh, my God. All right. You're ready to get into it, aren't you? All right. I like it. Banky's always ready. So let's go. Let's go to the offense, shall we?
Okay.
Talk some offense.
I'm ready.
Let's start with Eddie Lacy. All right. Because everyone's talking about Eddie Lacy. And why is everyone obsessed with where these guys go in the offseason and what they do and who they see and where they're at and what they're... When Eddie Lacy was rumored to be working out with the P90X founder... My Twitter feed every day was just a stream of people. Oh, have you seen Eddie? Eddie's working with P90X, dude. Oh, I heard he was here. Oh, I thought he was here. And there was a photographic evidence of him being here. Dude, people, he's going to come back in shape or he's going to come back out of shape. That is entirely up to Eddie. Like, let it be. Let it go. Let the guys have a freaking life.
Dude, I get
we're all in the Twitter sphere. We're all 24/7, 365. We're all plugged in. That's a big reason why a show like this can exist, that we're like even here, that people are even tuned in. I get all that. But at some point, you have to say, what is my life that I'm wondering what a young 20-something is doing every moment of the day, day in, day out, checking in to see geotags of where this kid is? Just let him go. Let him do his thing. If he comes back out of shape and looks horrible, fine. We'll all have at it. But, like, dude, for February, March, most of April, let it go. Anyway, sorry.
I've had a lot of people texting me, telling me where he is.
Texting you?
Yeah.
Texting you? Wow. Well, you're in the know, dude.
People will be like, I just saw Eddie Lacy. He was eating a donut. I'm just kidding. That was a joke.
I hope he wasn't getting a donut.
He was licking a donut. Oh, no, that was Ariana Grande.
Oh, that was Ariana Grande. Yeah. All right, let's go to the perimeter here and talk about the wide receiver group for a little bit. Because
okay.
I caught some waves, a little bit of waves there on the old Railbird Central podcast.
You cause waves?
I don't know what you're talking about right
you
now.
You were on the Railbird Central podcast?
I was. Thanks for listening.
I missed it.
Yes, our good friend Brian Caravu invited me on Monday morning, this past Monday morning.
Oh, that's nice.
And I said, I thought quite reasonably, and I've said this on Twitter, so anyone following or watching this program probably has already known this, knows what I'm about to say, but I said, you know, at the wide receiver position on this club, there are two locks, Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb. And that's pretty much it, you know? So, do I think Davante Adams, Ty Montgomery, do I think they're going to get cut? No. Do I think they make this team? Yes. Are they locks? Absolutely not. Now, look.
Who's going to beat Davante Adams or Ty Montgomery?
Now, here's the thing. Who knows? That's why you go to camp, and that's why you have competition. Now, look. I think they're going to ball out.
I think that's a little bit disingenuous.
No, it's not at all. A, you never know what a guy's going to look like coming back from an injury, and that includes Jordy Nelson, but Jordy Nelson's contract ensures that he's not going anywhere. Two, Ty Montgomery could come back and not look anything like the guy we saw last year. Look at how horrible Davante Adams looked last year for a good part of the season when everyone was ready to crown him the next big thing.
He is.
Last summer.
He is the next big thing.
He sure didn't look it with 22 targets against Detroit.
Okay.
And garbage production coming off those
Nagler,
targets.
Nagler.
Yes, Banky.
Mark my words.
Yes, sir.
Davante Adams, next best thing, buddy.
All right. I'm all in.
He's the next best thing.
I hope you're right.
Market zero.
The next best thing, not the next big thing. Ah, your word. Your little Freud wants to talk to you there.
Just market zero.
Next
okay.
best thing.
Yeah, that's fine.
To, you know, Jordy Nelson.
Hey, without a tight end, I will take the next best
thing.
See,
there it is. There it is. We'll get there.
We're not going to win the Super Bowl without a tight end, Nagler.
We're going to get to your tight end rant.
Okay.
Let me just finish this.
Okay. We haven't even been 15 minutes into this show.
Why did you look at the comments?
We haven't even been 15 minutes into the show, and somebody's already saying Jeff the Jesus Janis is a lock, dude. Come on.
Whoa.
Slow down.
Jeff Janis is not even close to a lock.
Slow down.
Dude, okay, I get it. He caught some big passes in a playoff game. That's great. Did you happen to miss the rest of the season? Did you happen to miss the fact that he couldn't get on the field?
Truth is, though, seriously, Jeff Janis could take the number one position this year.
Stop!
It's possible.
You're just trying to piss me off now. You're just trying
it's
to make
possible.
Me mad.
It's possible.
It is possible. Okay. It is also possible.
If Davante Adams and Ty Montgomery are not locks, then it's possible.
You're absolutely right. It is totally possible.
I think that would be hilarious. Dude, Wisconsin would like implode on itself.
Yeah, it would. It'd be like, you know, that scene from The Matrix when Neo finally sees the code. It'd be all over. Wisconsin as a whole would rise and form a whole new nation, Janis Nation. So, all right, let's talk. It's not in the script, but let's talk about it. Let's talk about the tight end position. Let's talk about the number one. I talked about it all offseason. The number one area this team needed to upgrade, the tight end position. What'd they do?
Apparently, we have a tight end.
They have Jared Cook. They signed him in free agency on a one-year deal. But you're not happy with that. Tell the people why you're not happy with
that. Because we're not going to win the Super Bowl without a tight end.
This is Corey Banky with a hot take.
I'm just saying.
Hot take, ladies and gentlemen.
I cannot believe we didn't take a tight end on the first round or second round.
In the draft?
In the draft at all.
Yeah, I know.
I'm dumbfounded.
I was a little surprised.
You know what? I guess we take for granted that Ted is going to.
Yeah, he most
We take
is.
That for granted, but
we're
at the same time.
We're
going to
talk about Ted a little later in the program.
But at the same time,
it's Ted.
I mean, Ted's looking over your shoulder right now.
And yours too.
Always.
Always looking.
He's always looking
always
over my
watching.
Shoulder. Always watching. This show, it's special. He's going to look
me.
Over your shoulder.
I like it. I don't like not having a monitor, Banky. I just realized this.
I'm sorry.
I don't know.
It's
You're
temporary.
Just cutting. You're just cutting. I never know where to look. And of course, God forbid, we have some indicator lights. You know, God forbid, tally lights.
This is a temporary show right now.
I know. I'm just kidding. But I don't have a monitor, so I never know where to look.
That's fine.
I'm just letting you know.
Just be natural.
Just make me look
for
good.
For once in your life, just be
just
natural.
Just make me look good is all I'm asking. My life is in your hands, dude. So, the tight end position. Now, I want you to go off. You see, this is what I'm saying. When I say, like, pre-show, when we're bantering, and I say, stop, don't waste it, and you're like, dude, I'm not wasting it. I'm going to say the same thing on the show. And you haven't even said your little thing about the Super Bowl. No, you haven't. And it was, I like the point where you talked about.
No, but you made a good point.
Wait, what?
So
I made a good point?
Yes. Since 1964, we really haven't done, we've always had a tight end in our offense. But you made a good point that in 2010.
2010, we didn't.
JerMichael Finley got injured, and we didn't need a tight end.
But what did you say about the 96 squad?
Keith Jackson. I was going to say it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Keith Jackson.
Yeah.
The free agent. Okay. From a guy like Ted Thompson who doesn't go in the free agency, but when he goes in free agency, he makes big moves.
Right.
We need a big move. Every year now with Aaron Rodgers, we need one big move.
Right.
Just one. Just give me a big move, Ted. Not the second round up a little bit to take some. No, not
you don't, you don't think jumping up nine spots to get a backup offensive lineman who probably won't play this year,
no.
but will take over the left tackle spot next
no.
year?
No.
That's not a big move for
no.
you?
No.
All right.
No.
I hear you.
No.
I hear you.
I want him to do a multi-team deal to get Gronkowski.
You want like an NBA deal.
Yeah.
You want like a three-team deal to swing Gronk to the Packers.
We would win the Super Bowl. Dude, if we got Gronkowski, we win the Super Bowl three years in a row.
Come back from La La Land. All right, because that's not going to happen.
Just saying.
That's not going to happen. But that...
All
right, the tight end position is or was a major problem.
Now, Mike has compensated.
He has, but he shouldn't have to. His general manager should provide him. And I think those reports that came out at the end of the year when Mike was, you know, it was reported that McCarthy was frustrated with Thompson, you're allowed to be frustrated with Thompson. I was certainly frustrated with Thompson after the draft, and I caught hell for it on Twitter. You're allowed to be frustrated. You can still trust what he's doing and be frustrated with him. And the tight end position, I'm a little frustrated. I'm with you. However, I am very interested to see what Cook can do with Aaron Rodgers throwing him the football.
But you're putting all your bags in one basket.
No, you're not. Don't forget Kennard Backman. Don't short shrift him.
I forgot him.
I know you did. Of course you did. Because he wasn't a first-round pick. So, of course, and he didn't play except on special teams last year.
I forgot him.
And very, very rarely from scrimmage.
Forgot.
So, of course, you've totally blocked him from your mind.
He's a nothing burger right now, dude.
Exactly. Right now. But it's May.
But how do you compete?
They don't play.
You
got to
have guys compete.
What's the biggest area? What's the biggest part of a football team that improves from one year to the next? The biggest area. Rookies going into their second year. That is when players
depending on the position.
But more often than not, that is where players in the NFL make their biggest jump. Kennard Backman is going from year one to year two. And I'm not saying he's going to be a difference maker in any way, shape, or form. But I am excited to go to camp and see how he does.
I'm not excited to go to camp with like 1.5 dudes.
Okay, so Richard Rodgers.
Oh my God!
Here we go.
It's
just not
Richard Rodgers is just a guy. He has proven that he is just a guy. Dude.
He is not a certain type of guy, but he's a valuable player and he's a valuable cog in the wheel of this offense. He was just used way too much in capacities that he's not suited for in 2015. Okay, remember you're talking about Keith Jackson? You're talking about Keith Jackson,
yes.
right? And how awesome it was to have
yes.
two tight end set. Did you think Mark Chmura was Gronk-esque?
Nope.
No. He was a complimentary piece,
yes.
right?
Yes.
That's Richard Rodgers.
Mm. Well, but he's never had a tight end that could complement him.
Yeah, that's Jared Cook. Cook's got the athleticism. He just needs to hold on to the fucking ball.
We'll see.
He's going to drop some passes. I have no doubt about that. And we're going to throw things at the TV. I have no doubt about that. But his athletic ability should help open things up on the offensive side of the ball. That, coupled with Jordy Nelson coming back, coupled with a slimmed down Eddie Lacy, I like our chances.
Oh, I always like our chances.
Yeah, of course you do. Of course you do. Except you've already written them off. They aren't going to win the Super Bowl because they didn't get a tight end.
Yeah.
All right.
Because you know what? You know what, Nagler?
Oh, boy.
The last 2 years, where have I spent my life? In Arizona and Seattle.
I know.
Not winning the Super Bowl.
I know. Not going to the Super Bowl. Not even, forget winning it. You can't win it if you're not in it. And there you haven't been in it.
At least in Seattle, they have recreational marijuana. In Arizona, they don't have that.
I can say that when I'm drinking.
I can say it's the internet, bro. So
no, I just meant I almost snarfed.
It's like 4 years, man. We said this. I said this last year. Mm-hmm. I said this the year before. Aaron Rodgers has only got so much time, and Ted Thompson is pissing it away.
Oh yeah. Well, now wait. Hold on as I pour my beer. Keep talking.
I'm going to show your back to the audience. Now you're just not there. All now right, you're
that's,
there.
That's awesome.
You're in
All
the
right,
shot now.
Can I just say something here about this? Because you just used one of the phrases that like sends me into a fucking tither. All right. We're wasting Aaron Rodgers.
We are.
Oh, we're wasting Aaron Rodgers. Yep. Oh, no.
We are.
Hey, how about Aaron Rodgers stops wasting himself? All right? If we're all so concerned about Aaron Rodgers and wasting Aaron Rodgers, hey, rededicate yourself to your footwork and to your ability outside the pocket and your, like trust your receivers a little bit. Throw some 50-50 balls or at least, like, take a chance every once in a while. Aaron Rodgers is not without fault here.
I didn't say that.
No, but like wasting Aaron Rodgers. Tom Silverstein wrote it in the Journal Sentinel 2 days ago. Like, okay, Aaron Rodgers has won 2 MVPs, but you take away Jordy Nelson. You put some injured guys in front of him in the offensive line. You get some wide receivers who have questionable ability to separate, to make things happen against man-to-man. What did Brett Favre do in 96 when they took freaking Andre Rison off the street? When he was robbed of everybody in the wide receiving core?
He made playmakers.
He made happen. He made stuff happen. Aaron Rodgers, everything taken
Aaron
away
Rodgers
from him.
Aaron Rodgers made a lot happen,
He
dude.
Made a lot happen, but he made, like, oh, Denver. In Denver. Look at that game.
Denver
77
was
yards.
Denver was the best team in the NFL.
I understand
And everybody
that.
Didn't realize that until they won the Super Bowl.
Well, no, they were one of the best defenses in the NFL for the entire year.
But they kicked our ass.
Absolutely.
And then they just killed everybody.
What about
dude?
The next week in Carolina? When you got Randall Cobb wide open. They tied the game. And Aaron Rodgers says, I don't know what happened. I was scared.
What about it? I was there, dude.
I was scared.
Dude, I was there.
Something scared me. I'm just saying, Aaron Rodgers is a God-level quarterback. But this idea that he's like infallible, that he is without fault, step in your throws.
You just mean,
rededicate yourself to your footwork.
Wasting Aaron Rodgers means you got to give him playmakers, okay? It is on you to give the quarterback
aspect.
Playmakers, okay?
Yes.
When has Ted
but
Thompson ever given him playmakers?
If the playmakers aren't there, you have to elevate your game and or elevate the game of those around you.
Yes.
That is what the great ones do.
Yes, but look, what right now our number one receiver is the 7th round pick out of freaking, where did Jordy Nelson go? Kent State? No.
He was a 2nd round pick.
Okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's not a playmaker. He is a playmaker because of
He's
how Ted.
He's a top 5 wide receiver in the NFL, and he was robbed from the Green Bay Packers in 2015. I understand all that.
We're just yelling at each other now. We're just yelling.
He's not a playmaker, dude.
What? Oh my God. Oh my God.
He was a playmaker because
Oh my God.
He had a lot of playmakers around him.
Jordy Nelson is not a playmaker. Is that what you just said?
What's the last play he made?
The one right before he got hurt.
There you go.
Oh my God.
There you go. Where was Jordy Nelson in Arizona, dude?
You are just like a Facebook comment. Like come to life.
It's because it's the off season, dude. Let me get into
you
preseason.
You just said Jordy Nelson isn't a playmaker.
What have you done
have
for
you been
me
in
lately, bro?
You talking about recreational marijuana? Have you been in Washington this whole off season? What is going on with you?
What have you done for me lately?
Do you see? Like, go back in the San Francisco game at San Francisco where Jordy Nelson makes the most ridiculous tiptoe sideline catch ever in the history of the game.
Go back 2 years.
He's a playmaker.
Go back 2 years in the playoffs where he drops the ball like 3 times. Key critical moments when we needed the plays, dude. There's plenty of times you can go back on Jordy Nelson.
Okay,
dude.
You know where he dropped some passes? You know where he dropped some passes? In the Super Bowl. You know where else he caught some passes? In the freaking Super Bowl to help them win said Super Bowl. Jordy Nelson isn't a playmaker. Get the fuck out of here.
Since 2010, right? And I am the most positive person on the Packers you will ever meet.
You know what I love?
Okay?
Is right now, in your mind, you're like, oh, shit. I said Jordy Nelson isn't a playmaker. Oh, God. Oh, what am I doing? And I see the wheels spinning.
No.
And you're like trying to justify it.
It doesn't
but
bother me.
But you know
me.
Deep inside, you're going to text me tonight at like midnight. You're going to be like, I can't believe I said Jordy Nelson isn't a playmaker. Oh, my God.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what's going to happen, dude.
No,
if the text doesn't come tonight, it's going to come tomorrow.
The last 6 years, when you look at the Packers, it is one of missed opportunities.
I agree with that.
Okay?
I totally agree.
And every single player on this team, including Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Include. Thank you.
Okay?
Yeah.
Are missed opportunities, right?
Yeah.
And I have spent tens of thousands of dollars watching those missed opportunities.
So now we get down to it. Right? Now we get down to it. It's all about your travel expenses is what it's really all
about.
No,
but you know, it's like blood, sweat, and tears, right?
I know. It's investment.
You invest.
Emotional.
Yeah.
Financial.
Now,
it's investment. I get that.
Now, when the season comes along and preseason comes along, right, I'm back in it. I'm positive. Yeah. And until we get to that final thing, that final day.
You're like, the Packers
are
going to win. I know.
And I'm going to go to every playoff game, right?
I hear you.
So it's fine. But no, what have you done for me lately, Jordy Nelson? So I don't even think Jordy Nelson is a lock, dude.
Well, it depends. Coming off the injury, it's possible. It's the contract that makes it hard. But I hear you. I hear you. Should we move on
to Bakhtiari?
Should we move on? Oh, it's good to be back. So David Bakhtiari. So this nonsense started up on Twitter after the Jason Spriggs pick. First, it was Luke Rogers, brother of said Aaron. He tweeted out that someone asked him about the Spriggs pick and the offensive line going forward. And he had tweeted, "I hear Bach to guard." And I thought, oh, ha, ha, ha. Very funny. Like, I thought he was being sarcastic. But then, after the draft, someone tweeted out a Tony Pauline report. Tony, total pro. He covers the draft just as well as anybody. We've had him on this show. Guy owns his beat. I get it. Like, he's plugged in. He knows people everywhere and all the teams, etc. He wrote for Walter Football, "The belief is that the Packers want to move Bakhtiari to guard and they want to upgrade at left tackle." Now, wait. All right. Now, slow down. I get they may want to upgrade at left tackle, even though Bakhtiari is a pretty damn good pass protector and they got the franchise back there they got to protect. He's not the greatest run blocker, but neither was Chad Clifton. Neither was Earl Dotson. These are guys that they won Super Bowls with. Okay, fine. But they're not moving Bakhtiari to guard.
No.
And I reached out to David. As everyone here knows, he's a friend of the show, and I reached out to him, and I asked him about this. I said, "Have they approached you about this? Have you heard about this?" And he literally just said, "No, I'm a left tackle, period." Which, of course, makes sense because he's entering his contract year and there's no freaking way he's moving to guard and taking the hit financially that will undoubtedly, you know, follow if he's a guard and then hits the free agent market.
The only reason to move your left tackle to a guard is if you suck at left tackle.
Yeah, and he doesn't.
And he doesn't.
He's a really good left tackle. Go watch him against Ziggy Ansah. Go watch him against Greg Hardy. Go watch him against pretty much any premier pass rusher, and he does the job.
And he's not a terrible run blocker. He does do the pulling pretty well.
He's fine. He's just, you know, he's prone to holding. He doesn't have the greatest power in the world, but he gets the job done. And in pass protection, he's excellent. So I just had to say it because I wrote about it, and I talked to David about it, and I just wanted to put it on the record here. Packer Transplants Live. Bakhtiari's not moving to guard. Ridiculous. I'm not going to talk about another offensive lineman.
Ooh, something. Don Barclay.
Back in the fold. Corey rolls his eyes.
Wow, yay.
In the fold. Now, here's the thing. I understand they won a couple games with Barclay at
tackle.
Didn't
we take an offensive lineman in the draft?
They did. So maybe Don Barclay isn't long for this world.
Okay, but there you go.
But yay. I get that they won. They beat Seattle with Barclay at right tackle. They beat...
But that was before Seattle was on the up.
No, exactly. And they beat Kansas City with Barclay at tackle. So I get it. Like maybe the Packers feel like, oh, we can get through a game with him. But I'm fine with him coming and competing at guard. He is not a tackle. In no world is he
tackle. Stop, please.
And I get the Packers thinking...
He's barely a guard, dude.
I know. No, I think he could be a very good guard, actually. Maybe not very, very good, maybe overselling. But... a more than serviceable guard, I think, is what he could be. But the Packers, for whatever reason, seem to think that 1 year more removed from his knee injury and he's going to suddenly become a tackle. He was never a tackle to begin with. He was always a guard. For some reason, Mike McCarthy has this bee in his bonnet about Barkley being a serviceable tackle, which he is nowhere near. But you never know. Camps come. Camps, you know, injuries happen. Barkley knows the system. Good to have him in the fold. I just hope he's allowed to compete at guard, and we don't just look at him at tackle. And finally, this one's just for Corey, just because I love it so much.
I don't even know who this
Joe
is.
Joe Callahan, baby!
I don't even
the
know
Packers
who
Packers have signed Joe Callahan, Division III, Wesley College.
Why are we signing a Division III quarterback?
Because they need a camp arm. They need four quarterbacks, and they had three, so they needed a fourth. Undrafted free agent Joe Callahan, but okay, play the vine. Play the vine. Play the vine, Banky.
What happened?
Play the vine.
Wait, oh yeah, a vine.
I know you fell asleep. A vine. But I vine this. This kid's got a Huddle account, because they all do. But this throw is ridiculous. There's another play that I have on my Vine account that you can go look at after this one. But, oh my gosh, this throw is great. He, like, barely steps into this thing, and he heaves it, like, halfway down. It's like, this is a Rodgers throw. I mean, just look at this. And I don't have a monitor.
Oh, that was Daytone, sorry.
Oh,
my
yeah,
bad.
Sure. Or just look at Daytone.
No, sorry.
Corey, it's the quarterback. It's the one throwing a football.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't on loop. And so
there it is. There it is.
I had it playing right.
There you go.
And then I played Daytone.
But that throw is ridiculous. This kid's got an arm. I don't know if he can play quarterback. All I've seen are highlights, and they're all great. He's got some great pocket moves. So, like, he's got good pocket presence. It'll be fun to watch in camp. He's not going to make the team.
Two words.
What's that?
Division III.
Yeah. But he's got a... Look, his arm is insane, dude. Look at his throw. Like, he's literally falling away as he throws. That's Cutler-esque.
I'm not playing that anymore.
Okay. Anyway. I know I'm watching on the replay on our site, which is on delay. So I'm just... Because I don't have a monitor, Corey. So I don't know what...
Oh, my God. Did, like, Sports Illustrated turn you into a diva? What happened?
Total diva. No! What happened? Told me you're a diva.
Did you, like, listen to Beyonce Lemonade too many times?
No, I'm used to having a monitor, which you have provided out of the kindness of your heart up until this very moment. This is the first
I guess I'm not a playmaker anymore, Nagler.
Of Packer transplants that I haven't had a live monitor to see what is going out
to
the world.
That'll never happen again.
Because you don't want me to talk about
exactly.
It. Exactly. All right, should we go to the defense?
Why didn't? Here's what I don't understand,
oh,
okay?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Here's what I don't understand. If we're not going to take a tight end... Why don't we draft a quarterback in the first round? I don't understand. Why don't we have the future? Why don't we, like, if the long term really,
okay.
Here's the thing,
can
right?
I tell you, wait.
Here's the thing, right?
All right.
Ted Thompson, what does he think? We're going to sign another 10 years with him? Like, he's got to win now, okay? Like, it's time to win now, buddy. What's his contract up? In 4 years? In 5 years?
2018.
Okay. So in 2018,
reportedly.
Right?
Reportedly. No one knows for sure, but reportedly.
Like, okay, we don't let's say this, right? Because I can be I'm only pessimistic in the silly season, right? Mm-hmm. Then I turn into optimism.
I got you.
Okay. So let's riddle me this, Batman.
No.
Hypothetical. We don't go to the Super Bowl.
No.
Ted Thompson's contract's up. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers about to retire.
Okay.
Do we renew?
With who?
Ted.
Probably. If he wants to.
So you're telling me.
But I don't think that's going to happen.
So you're telling me 6 years, 8 years of not winning the Super Bowl, right? For the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
The most storied franchise in the history of the NFL.
You mean the team that went 3 decades without
winning? Yeah, but forget that. Okay.
I'm just asking.
No, hey, slow down. Slow down, okay?
Oh, 2.5 decades. Sorry.
Late it wasn't 3 decades.
Late 60s to mid-90s, dude.
Okay.
Close to 3.
So you're telling me, okay,
right,
that we're going to settle for Ted in 2018.
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay, well, I'm doing
it's
the hype.
Be
we're in silly season.
I know.
So
it's
going to
be
silly about
it's
it.
It's going to be interesting.
Okay.
I think it's going to be Elliot Wolf. That's what I think. Elliot Wolf. It'll be Elliot's time.
Okay. So when are we going to take a quarterback? And this is what I think. Ron Wolf took a quarterback every four years.
Well, he took a quarterback last year.
Who?
Brett Hundley, the backup, the guy who's one play away from being your starting quarterback, Banky.
Oh, you're putting him to sleep again. Why? That really?
Yes, really. Look at Packers.com. Look at the roster section. It's right there. All right.
That's pathetic.
No, it's not. He played well. He shocked me in preseason last year because you know what? When you and I were there at the beginning of camp,
yes,
he looked fucking terrible. We have Tom Oates on video going, oh, boy, yeah, they're going to have to redshirt this guy or something. They're going to have to put him on the practice squad. Because, like, he was so bad. He was so overwhelmed early on. We go away. We come back to New York. The preseason games start. And this kid looked good. I'm not saying he's great. I'm not saying he's the next best thing. But he looked competent. He looked like an NFL quarterback.
I hear you.
So why didn't he take a quarterback in the first round? I'll tell you why, Banky.
We should have.
You take a quarterback in the first round. That's 4 years. Fifth year if you use his option, sitting on the bench probably, because Rodgers is going to play for probably another 6 to 7 years.
But look what Ron Wolf did, right? Every 2 or 3 years,
yes,
he took a quarterback.
Not in the first
round. Then he traded them.
Not in the first round.
Okay, second round, third round. But then he traded
them. But
that's
what he's going to probably
do. So who do we take in the third
round? That's probably what Ted is going to do with Hundley.
If Hundley is any good.
Well, Hundley's on the road. Hundley was as good last preseason as Matt Hasselbeck ever was when he became Mr. August and got traded for a first-round freaking pick. I'm just saying.
I don't believe you, but what do I know? Nothing.
Hundley looked great last preseason.
I don't even know who we drafted.
In the context of preseason.
We didn't draft Miles Jack, and everybody was pissed, and then I forgot the draft, basically.
All right. Well, speaking of Miles Jack, let's talk about the defense, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's talk about the guy they drafted instead of Miles Jack, because we'll get to the Miles Jack thing.
Should we have taken Miles? Oh, we're getting to that.
We'll get to that.
Sorry.
We'll get to it later.
Sorry.
We'll get to it later.
And I do need to see a counselor, Chugwater. I do.
It's true.
But
it's true.
I am the Jekyll and Hyde of the Packers. There is a very limited time where I allow myself to be completely pessimistic, and then I shit on everybody else for being pessimistic the entire season. And I'm Mr. Optimism.
Again, you say this while I'm drinking.
And I put my money where my mouth is, and I believe in my pack.
And you go
because that's all you do.
Playoff game.
That's what you got to do,
come
baby,
on, dude.
Soon as the shareholders meeting starts, I'm all in. Chips are on the table. Let's do this. Let's win the Super Bowl without a tight end.
All right. So let's talk about the defense. Let's talk about Kenny Clark, the guy they took instead of Miles Jack. Now, here's the thing. I get the Kenny Clark pick. I like the Kenny Clark pick. I think he's going to be a very good football player. I don't know that he's going to be a field tilter. I don't know if he's going to be a difference maker. I don't know if he's going to be a playmaker. But he's going to be a very good football player. And I think, had B.J. Raji not surprised the Packers and retired/walked away this offseason, I suspect that the Packers don't go defensive tackle in the first round. However, because B.J. walked away, and because Mike freaking Pennell is suspended for the first 4 games of the season, all of a sudden you got this hole in the middle of your freaking defense where you need to be strongest, and all of a sudden you're weakest. You gotta get a guy in there. And I think Clark, looking at his game, breaking down his tape since the selection, you know, I looked at a couple games before, you know, I tried to watch pretty much the top 50 guys. I probably watched like 2 or 3 games of each of them.
He's a top 50 guy?
Oh, no doubt. In my mind. So, like, and then he gets taken, so then I go and I try to watch everything, you know? Not everything, but all of his games last year and a couple games from the year before, and
that sounds like a lot of your life you don't get back, bro.
Probably, but it's, you just described my existence as someone who covers football. So, I gotta tell you, I don't see a whole lot of difference in what Clark is gonna bring to this defense and what Raji brought to this defense. And I know Raji was picked 9th overall, and Clark was picked way down at 27 in the parlance of the draft. But as players and as to what they'll do in Dom Capers' defense, it's not that big a difference.
What a weird draft, though.
Not that big a difference.
Like when you say, like, dropped, like, he dropped, right? Like, he was
not
supposed
really
to be taken.
No. People, who? Raji
Clark.
Or Clark? No, not really. I mean, I think
he
a
was
lot
supposed
of,
to be taken there.
I think a lot of prognosticators and analysts thought
it just
he
like,
might be a second round.
Maybe it's because I was
round.
Like, maybe I put too. I, obviously, in the silly season, I put too much stock in Twitter.
Yes,
and
you
then
did.
I realize it by the season, and then I just don't pay attention to that.
Right,
but it just seemed like everybody was so excited. It was like, it was like all the players we wanted were all there for us.
Well, yeah, that's yeah.
But is all that right. because we'd already managed our expectations that a that's who bit, was going to be there?
A little bit, a little bit. That's some of it. And like, you got to remember with the media, and I thought our good friend, oh wait, not friend of the show, Bob McGinn put it very well in his
Bob McGinn loves me, dude. He just hates you.
Post-draft chat on JS Online. I thought he put it really well. He said, you know, look, Billings is a perfect example of someone who everyone in the draft industrial complex, which is what I call it, you know, had Billings as a first-round talent. Oh, it'll be madness if he goes in the second round, late second round. Oh, wait, but here he drops to the fourth round. We don't know how teams have these guys valued at all.
So it's based on what like Mel any Kiper way, shape, has. Or,
Mel Kiper, yeah, yeah. Anybody in the draft. Like, everybody, like, says they have, like, okay, or I'm talking to this team or that team, a scout on this team. That's great. Unless you've got all 32 general managers in a room totally. Being honest, you don't have anything. And most people don't have 32 general managers in a room being honest. So all this pre-draft hype and all this pre-draft analysis, you know, it is what it is. It's a lot of inches, lots of pixels, like, spread around, you know, to get advertising on your websites, etc. And great. And I don't begrudge the people who work in draft analysis.
Yeah.
One of my good friends, Matt Miller, I worked with him at Bleacher Report, one of my better friends in the industry. He's excellent at what he does. And he is pretty plugged in. And essentially, he eschews all of that. All the stuff that scouts tell him, like, he'll pass that along.
Yeah.
But when he puts together his big board, when he puts together his stuff for Bleacher Report, it's all what he sees and he thinks. And he catches major hell because of that. But it's what he honestly believes and what he sees, etc. And I'd much prefer that over these people who go, well, I'm talking to so-and-so scout or so-and-so general manager who are saying X, Y, and Z. When 60, 70, 80% of the time, that is total smoke being yeah. blown up our ass.
Unless that person is Adam Schefter.
Even Adam.
No, but I mean, of all the
Adam
people, he gets smoke, but...
He'll get a hard... You know, he gets hard information, but during draft season, forget it. Forget it. All bets are off.
Of course, because that's why, the point of it,
and
right?
That's why Jay Glazer goes totally silent during draft season, because he knows. He doesn't report BS. He doesn't report smoke 99% of the time, because he knows that's what he's getting from people during draft season.
Too old school, and I say old school in the most respectful way that I can, viewers, Robert Hammond, who I spent the Super Bowl
Robert
with.
Robert Hammond! What's
and,
up, buddy?
Rusty Weiss, they make a good point that maybe Raji wouldn't be picked as high as 9, and Robert says, if the 2009 draft was done over, Matthews 26 gets drafted way far ahead of Raji 9th.
Yep.
That's just kind of interesting. Yep. But that is absolutely. More the value in the 3-4 of linebackers, right?
Well, linebackers slash they needed a nose tackle. They desperately needed a nose tackle switching over to the 3-4 in 2009, and that's why they earmarked Raji. Supposedly, according to Bob McGinn, Michael Crabtree was the number one player on their board that year. Michael Crabtree was still on the board at number 9, and they took B.J. Raji instead.
They were going to take a tight end in the first round?
Oh, relax.
So interesting.
We're talking about defense now.
That's so interesting.
Speaking about defense.
The Packers actually rated a tight end number 1 in the first round.
No, Michael Crabtree is a wide receiver. Oh. Relax.
But I thought he was kind of targeted at first as a
He's bigger, but you're thinking about Vernon Davis probably.
Oh, Vernon Davis.
Who they were talking about. Taking or
what was the year we took? That was Matthews.
That was AJ Hawk.
AJ Hawk. Oh,
Matthews and Roger were the same year. And we'll get into this a little later.
Vernon Davis over AJ Hawk.
We'll talk
about this. Maybe we would have won a Super Bowl.
No, stop that nonsense. All right, so wait, we'll get into this a little later.
No, Rusty, I called you old school, not old. Okay, so just chill.
Old school.
Old school.
Old school.
Old school fan.
Old school. Much like this mug.
That mug is old school.
Old school. All right, so speaking of the defense. Dayton Jones, we talked about him earlier, talking about his contract year, not getting his fifth-year option picked up. The move to Elephant End, it's an intriguing experiment. I will say, going back and looking at the tape from last year, the end of the year, they played him up quite a bit. And it's funny because I didn't notice it live. I will readily admit this. And I went back and I watched tape, and I saw him standing up a couple times. But I thought, oh, it's a wrinkle, whatever. Blah, blah. If you go back and watch those games and you chart them, Dayton stood up a whole lot the last month of the season and into the playoffs. And I just I have this one play that I vined out the other day that I wanted to show tonight. This is a great job. This is like obviously Adrian Peterson tries to take the outside path here, and Dayton shuts him down. If Peterson cuts back initially, maybe he gets a little, a few more yards, etc. But this is a great play by Dayton, and this kind of goes with what he was doing with his hand in the dirt. Dayton is an underrated run defender. He has been for the last year and a half. And people talk, like I see the comments in Cheesehead TV and I see Twitter and people like rag on this guy. He's a good football player. Is he a great player? Is he transcendent? No. But he's a good football player.
And he's got his heart in the right place, too.
He absolutely does. He absolutely does. And I just think Packer fans need to get off this guy's back. I've seen a lot of negative comments about him. He's a good football player. And the Packers are lucky to have him. And I'm really excited to see what he can do standing up. I don't think he's ever going to be a pass rush demon. He's not going to be a difference maker slash playmaker, but he's a good football player. And you need good football players on your team to win a lot of games, and he's one of them. So that's all I want to say about that. Let's get to your buddy, your favorite player in the draft, Kyler Fackrell.
I don't even know what this is.
This is literally the quote from Corey Behnke. You may have seen it on Twitter if you're watching tonight. Who the hell is Kyler Fackrell? That was Corey's quote as we were getting ready for the show.
Well, because I was putting the vine in the system, and I was like,
this? That's how
that happens every year. By the way,
I know this
every
year. That's how into the draft Corey is. Corey doesn't know who the 88th overall pick is.
You know what?
Third round pick of the Packers.
Instead of the draft, we should just call it the meat show.
Yes,
you know,
I agree.
Let's show up and watch the meat.
I agree.
As it goes on by, and we call
it
our grades.
We don't know. We know,
and we don't know shit. You don't know anything until the player retires, before they get CTE. Then you know.
Damn, son.
When they're draft. Then you know how they were rated.
You had to go there, huh?
Yeah. Well, I just saw a concussion, dude.
You had to get all serious.
It hurt me.
You cut me. Cut me real deep just now.
No, but you don't know. I mean,
know, I hear you.
I say this to everybody because everybody's like, I thought you were this hardcore Packer fan. And I'm like, I am. But I don't.
And because I'm so hardcore, I know that I don't know anything about these guys until they step on an NFL football field.
And even then, I don't know.
I'll know a little more.
You know a little bit.
I know a little more. But even their rookie year, you don't really know.
No.
But I'll know a little more than I knew than I did 5 minutes after they were drafted. That's what kills me. But anyway, Fackrell and Blake Martinez, those are the big, great hopes. Those are the big hopes of Packer fans everywhere.
So wait,
the third and fourth round picks,
which one is,
the great additions to the linebacking
which one
core.
Is the Jeff Janis of 2016?
That's a good question. I think it's Martinez. I think it's Blake Martinez. I think, especially since our good friend Ryan Wood over there at the Green Bay Press Gazette wrote his glowing review. I mean, talk about going for it. I don't know. Wood, I don't know, man. He didn't hedge his bets at all in this article this morning in the Green Bay Press Gazette. It's like, holy, this is the great hope of pass coverage here. And to be fair, Martinez did drop a whole lot. I mean, they asked him. Stanford dropped him a bunch. So he's obviously stepping in as a guy who has done, who's familiar with it, who's been asked to drop a lot, who knows how to play a hook, who knows how to play a crosser. Like, he'll know that. But let's slow down on he's like the great missing piece that's going to allow Clay Matthews to go back outside. Like, I can show you plenty of tape of Martinez getting destroyed by inside guards, getting up to the second level. I can show you Martinez getting juked out of his shorts in the freaking hole by a running back. Like, let's all slow down. Like, he's got promise. He's got potential. But it's going to be some time until he comes in and is, like, allowing Clay Matthews to play strictly outside. That's not going to happen right away. I mean, slow our roll here, people. I know you don't care.
I'm like, I mean, name one rookie who has been a difference maker on the Packers in his first six games in the last 10 years.
Sam Shields. And he was an undrafted free agent. So there you go. Who knows? You never know where they're going to come from.
Name another one.
Greg Jennings was a starter his rookie year.
In the first six games, though?
First game. He was a starter. One of the few at the wide receiver position to ever do it.
That's crazy.
He was a starter. Yeah.
One of the few ever.
Yeah.
Not even on the Packers.
Rookie year. Yeah. It's a rare thing, but he did it.
It's a rare thing.
It's a very rare thing.
That's a rare thing.
But that's how good he was. People forget that. Greg Jennings was the man when he was a Packer. All right. And speaking of guys forgetting things, etc., this is my favorite one. Don't forget McCray.
I don't even know who
this
is.
The kid they signed, 4-year veteran from Denver. And Corey literally had no idea that this had occurred. And I have to admit,
I saw the vine, though.
I have to admit, I kind of forgot about it, too. After the draft, everyone's like all reassessing the draft class, and we're all like, oh, where are the Packers now on defense? And we're all getting these like love letters from the press about each and every draft pick. Don't forget McCray. And again, I'm not saying he's going to come in and just light it up, but he did play pretty well against the Packers. We have a vine here of him absolutely annihilating Randall Cobb out there in the flat. I mean,
yeah, but if you know that play is going to happen, that's kind of a nothing burger play, dude.
No, that's a good play. I mean, how many times have we seen Packer linebackers try to make that play and get juked out of their shorts and have it be a first down? Corey Banky.
To the Packers.
Are we trying to improve the team? Or are we trying to stay the same? You
I'm
wanted
just
a
saying,
move from Ted Thompson.
There was a lot.
There was a move.
There was a lot of this kind of like wide receiver screen stuff from the Packers.
Because they couldn't go down.
Because
field.
They didn't have a tight end. You know, so, you know, like.
You have a spine tonight, my friend. I like it. And you're sticking to it.
If I show you wide receiver screen for like 10 games.
Yep. I know. I hear you.
And you can't beat that.
But.
And you have the best defense in the NFL.
And to get back to my point,
FYI,
how many times have we seen a Packer linebacker in that very position, in that very vine, get juked out of their shorts and it's a first down? I'm just saying. It's a move. And don't forget about it. Because he's going to come into camp.
Okay.
He's going to compete.
Okay, people on the chat, I didn't say.
Why are you looking at the chat?
I didn't say who started as a rookie. I said who was a difference maker as a rookie in their first six games. Difference maker.
It's a distinction.
Bakhtiari and Corey Linsley, they don't count. FYI.
Well, they started. And they kind of made a difference because they allowed Aaron Rodgers to make plays. But
we had no choice with Corey Linsley. There's a lot of rookies on the offensive line.
Because Trotter got hurt. Yeah,
it's completely different than like beating out someone.
No, I know. I hear you. I hear you.
Like, hey, we have Donald Driver and someone beats them.
And Bakhtiari stepped in because Bilal got hurt or whoever got hurt. I understand. I hear you.
It's a little different.
It is. You're right.
Like if you have Clay Matthews,
Eric
and Clay
says you don't count, Corey.
I don't. I don't know why people like care about what I say half the time.
Robert, you're right. Lindsay was damn good for a rookie, but Corey's point is correct. He didn't beat him out. It took Treader getting hurt.
And like there's a lot of players that are rookies that just have to. They don't have a choice.
They get thrown.
There is no choice.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. It's not like Greg Jennings beat Donald Driver.
No, I hear you. I hear you. See, all this Josh Johnson. Go watch film on Fackrell and McCray before training camp, Banky.
No, I won't.
It's the last thing you want Banky doing. Trust me.
I don't watch film.
And then also, by the way, what good does that do? Like, I see so many people talk
watch
about,
film
like,
of some guy playing against Division II and Division III teams.
Well,
who
that's
cares?
The thing. Like,
you're in the NFL. No.
Put the camera
okay?
on you.
No. Just slow down for a second, okay? This is the NFL, people, okay? It's the only sport I watch. At all of them. I don't watch hockey. I don't watch basketball. I don't watch college because college is bullshit. It's always been bullshit. It's crap. It's a bunch of wannabe amateurs that play a game. The NFL is the best of the best of the best of the best. You can watch film on college all day and you don't know shit.
Word.
Because you are playing against people who are amateurs who are going to go to be doctors and lawyers and homeless people. So college, dude. What's the point?
All right. We're an hour into this show. We're not even to into the last segment. So let's get into the last segment.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right. It's this week in the Backer Podcast. It is Banky cutting off the music.
Sorry.
I love it.
Sorry, I didn't do it.
Hey, it's the off season for everyone. It's all right. This week
I
in
wish the Packers
blogs
are playing this weekend.
I know. So do I. That's what sucks. I hate coming here and talking to you and then like being like, there's no game Sunday, man. This sucks. But
everybody
forward
got,
we go.
Everybody got excited about Packer transplants, and now they're just going to be like, well, okay,
that
now what?
That sucked.
That sucks. Now what are we going
to
do? Well,
so, all right. I wanted to point out something in the Packer blogosphere this week. And yes, I include our good friend Tom Oates in the Packer blogosphere because we're all one big happy family. Unless it's Bob McGinn at the media Super Bowl party. But we'll get to that in a second. Tom Oates had a great piece. A great piece on Madison.com. I encourage everyone to go check it out. About Ted Thompson missing his big opportunity in the draft. I could not agree more. If I could sell my children into slavery to make everyone in the Packer world read this article, I would. I may have overstated there just a little bit.
Well, who is he supposed to take?
Miles Jack! Miles Jack!
Oh, yeah.
Miles freaking Jack.
Yeah,
so you
that.
Have this glaring need. Now, I understand Elliot Wolf standing up there at the podium going, oh, I don't think inside linebacker is the glaring need everyone in the media makes it out to be. Yeah, let me throw on some Sam Barrington tape. Who's, oh, by the way, he's coming back from injury. He's our big reinforcement. Let me throw on some Jake Ryan tape, who everyone touts as this great, oh, he played really well and he was really aggressive and got juked out of his shorts a bunch, but we're going to look at the other stuff a little bit. Like, let me throw on some Joe Thomas tape, undersized, signed off Dallas's practice squad because you cut him for whatever reason. So obviously, at some point, you thought, this guy really isn't the answer. These are the people you have gone to battle with. And you have Miles Jack staring you in the face, who, at the moment he steps on the field, will be the best inside linebacker you've had since you switched Clay Matthews to inside linebacker. And you just get the heebie-jeebies because you have a conservative medical staff and you go, okay, we're going to take... Now, I understand that if B.J. Raji doesn't surprisingly retire this offseason, Miles Jack is probably a Packer because as I reported, and I use that term loosely...
You report
on
things?
Twitter after the first
That's
round.
Interesting.
The Packers called Jack and his people around pick 20 and said, we're thinking about taking you. And then when they were on the clock, they took calls about trading back, and they debated in the room about taking Jack. And in the end, Ted Thompson wasn't happy slash, you know, content, comforted, whatever he needs to be about Jack's knee, about taking a player who maybe only plays 2 or 3, 4 years. And then whatever his knee blows out, his knee is a ticking time bomb, according to some teams, etc. Which, by the way, Jack and his people will tell you is BS, but here we are.
We'll see.
Now, here's
we'll
the thing.
See. We'll
Tom,
see.
We will see. Time will tell. We'll see week one when Miles Jack lines up against the Packers in Jacksonville when he was allowed to fall to the second round. Now, here's my thing. Everyone went after me on Twitter because I got upset about not taking Jack. And I understand Clark's a good, solid pick. We talked about it earlier in the show. I do think he's a solid pick. I totally get why the pick was made. However, if Ted continues to make picks, first round or nay, first round through seventh round, that much like trading up for Spriggs, you got a very good football player there. A lot of scouts liked him. A lot of scouts saw problems in his game and thought he might never be a frontline player. But you know, they loved him, clearly. And they wanted to jump up in front of Chicago and Seattle to get him. Well done. Well done there. As well as Spriggs will ever play, he will never be a difference maker. He will never be a playmaker. Yes, he will help your offensive line. Miles Jack could potentially, I'm not saying he will, but he could potentially be a big-time difference maker. Ron Wolf to this day laments the fact that he was one pick away from taking Ray Lewis. One pick away. Never got the shot. Ted Thompson had the shot and decided not to take it. And my fear, much as you were saying earlier tonight, is that this continual, I just want to make sure the club is good, rather than reaching for the brass ring, and I'm not talking about trading a ton of picks to get up to number two to take Carson Wentz like the Eagles did. I think that's immensely foolish. But taking a Miles Jack, who could be a potential big-time difference maker on your team, a playmaker at a position that hasn't seen a playmaker in ages, eschewing that for the safe pick, the long-term investment, if you will, ensures that, yes, as Ted knows better than anybody, as a former stock trader, worked stocks for a long time, not a long time, but a short time, yes, your portfolio will perform fairly well. You're fairly certain that you're going to be good. You're fairly certain that you're secure. You're fairly certain that you're going to win 10 to 13 games every year, always going to be in the hunt. And if everything falls right, you've got a shot at the title. Rather than taking just a little chance. It's not a big chance. If Derek Sherrod can be on this team as a first-round pick and offer next to nothing for the entire time he was a Green Bay Packer, and this team still won 10-plus games every year Sherrod was on the team, where is the big risk in taking a Miles Jack, whose ceiling is through the roof, pardon the use of phrase there, ceiling through the roof, etc., like, who, like, could potentially be a generational player, as opposed to taking a guy who will definitely take on double teams, will definitely play very well along the defensive line, but will most likely, his ceiling, if you talk to any scout in the league, will most likely, we don't know for sure, all caveats aside, here we go, I'm hedging everything here, is never going to be a guy who makes the play that sends you to a W. Now, he could make a big sack.
I mean, here's the thing. If he makes that play that Raji makes in Soldier Field,
absolutely,
the NFC Championship game, makes that interception and runs into the end zone,
he could make that play.
He is the difference maker if he can make that kind of play. That is what he needs to do.
And I'm not even saying he needs to do that to justify the pick, because I think you do.
First round draft pick, you kind of do.
No, I get the pick, and I get Ted's philosophy. I just don't agree with it 100%. And that's the difference. Where people are killing me on Twitter, like, I thought you loved Thompson. Those are my favorite. Those are you're the number one Ted guy. I love Ted. I love the fact that the team I root for is in the hunt every year. It's an awesome privilege to root for the Green Bay Packers. It's even more so because of Ted Thompson. Because of the fact that he's made sure, he's ensured that we are always in the hunt. But to leave it up to, well, if things break right, we'll get to the Super Bowl, rather than being proactive just a little bit. To your point about the tight end, all season, as the season wore on, more and more people asked me, what's the number one thing the Packers need for next year? What's the number one need on this team? Everyone.
Well, but you don't draft for need, Nagler. You don't draft
for
need.
No, you don't. You
don't. Don't draft for need.
You don't.
But when you're Ron Wolf, you get the free agents for need. That's where you fit your little puzzle with your free agency.
You try to supplement. You try to fill in just a little bit. And again, I'm not asking for a huge move here. I'm not asking for mortgaging the future type move.
I think we should mortgage the future.
Here's
the thing, though.
I'm not talking Eagles dream team here.
No. But if there is a time to mortgage the future on something, not on Miles Jack, but on something that is mortgaging the future, like a Keith Jackson, like a Reggie White, okay? Mm-hmm. Like what Ron Wolf did.
Yeah, all right. Well, Reggie White's a very special case. But Keith Jackson, I get.
If there's a time, it is now, dude. We are in the hunt. Yeah. We are the hunter. Yeah. Okay, and this time is not going to last forever. Okay,
yeah, I agree.
We are the hunter. At some point, we will become the prey, and we will become this small town America that is like living on the past for a couple decades until some other hero comes
around. I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't lived through that at all. 20 years of, oh, remember when it was great? No, I don't, because all I've seen is 20 years of crap. Yeah, it was my life as a young man. So, yeah.
But that's, to me, like, that's the thing I've been trying to, like, kind of express to people. And just because I don't agree with something Ted does or doesn't do doesn't mean I don't think he's a top five GM in the league, which I think he is.
Oh, easily. Easily.
I totally think he is.
Easily. But he also exists in a team and a market that is allowing him to be who he is.
Exactly.
When you look at the Browns,
thank you.
There's this funny thing where,
thank you.
Where there's this statistic that says that teams that have won, coaches that have won the Super Bowl have at least coached 6 years, and the Browns have never had a coach like over 3 years like, or something.
Two years. But here's the thing. Okay, so I know Bob McGinn caught a little hell for this, but it's true. He wrote in one of his pieces this offseason that Thompson is allowed to operate as a glorified college scouting director.
Yep.
And I know he does look at pro tape, but mostly he lets Elliott do that and bring him the pro tape, and he says yay or nay. 99% of the time he says nay, but fine. So he's allowed to operate that. You know why he's allowed to operate like that? Because Mark Murphy and the Green Bay Packers and the organization and everything around it allows him to be that. Allows him to do so. He didn't face the media one time after the Arizona loss until we got to the combine in Indianapolis.
Honestly,
other general manager in the NFL, even kids who freaking guided a team to last place in their division, faced the media after the end of the season.
I know he could not handle a large market. He couldn't handle the press. He could not handle that. He could not handle what President Obama has to handle. He could not handle what Trump. He couldn't handle what anybody has to handle that isn't a large market. He couldn't handle it. He folds. I had a camera on him at the Super Bowl, and the man folds. He's like a flower. He can't handle any attention on himself.
I don't know if he would fold so much as he wouldn't like be cognizant of it. I just don't think he cares. Like, I know he doesn't care. Like, I've talked to enough people.
Dude, if he had an owner that made him get in front of the cameras all the time, he would quit his job, bro.
He might.
If he had Woody Johnson as his boss, come on.
I like this. I got a great tweet here from Corey McClinn, who says, Corey Benke keeps referencing Wolf, who was great, but hasn't Ted won just as many Super Bowls as Wolf? I will say this.
He hasn't gone to as many.
Wolf got to two.
Yeah, I was about to say, he hasn't gone to his
Wolf got to two.
Slow down.
Now, to be fair, if Brandon Bostic doesn't, you know.
Okay. I've already, Nagler, I've fucking told you, okay?
I just wanted you to drop an F-bomb.
You cannot say that word. All right. This is my new office.
Yep.
Please do not ever say that again.
Never word.
I'm not
kidding. Never know it. But I will say this. If he who shall not be named doesn't, you know, screw up, fine, they're in the Super Bowl. But I will also say this. As I reported, yes, again, on Cheesehead TV, there is a certain member of the Packers Brain Trust and the personnel group who is begging Ted to cut Bostic, I'm sorry, over 2 years worth. He's going to cost us. He's going to cost us. He's mentally small. He's horrible. We got to cut him. 2 years of this, Ted wouldn't listen. Ted kept him because he was his guy. What happened? I'm not saying, I'm just saying. So, yes, Wolf and Thompson have the same number of Super Bowl victories. Wolf got to two.
Ron Wolf has a killer instinct.
Wolf did have
it is not necessarily known that Ted Thompson has a killer instinct.
Oh, of course he doesn't. Of course he doesn't. Although, I find it interesting that Ted gets, you know, you and I are both deriding him tonight. But, you know, I'll take him over...
Everybody
probably
else.
31 other 30, hey. 29 other GMs.
Ted
30
just,
other GMs.
Ted doesn't just sit here on my screen.
Yeah,
he sits here because I respect the man, just much like I respect Berkshire Hathaway. And you know what I mean? Like, hey, he's great, but you got to have somebody else pushing you to be like, okay, what's next? What's the thing? Let's get the thing right now.
Yeah.
Let's do it, man.
I hear you.
Let's pull the trigger.
So I look forward to 10 to 13 wins and a brutal, crushing playoff loss. That's my thought.
Well, I think
right
it depends. It depends on, like you said.
It always
we'll
depends.
Be there.
But that's my point.
We could be ascending like 2010.
That's my point, though. It's like it's all about how do the chips fall. It's not about asserting themselves. It's about if everything breaks right, we could get to the Super Bowl. So there you go. That's where we're at.
This is like the longest show in history of Packer transplants.
And you love it. All right. That'll do it for this week/month's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone for joining us on the chat. You guys are the reason we do this. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, we'll see you a couple of weeks/months down the road. For Corey, I'm Aaron. Cheesehead TV out. Go Pack.
Take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Shh.